This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Yep, it's Cashing Out. Welcome in. I'm Dustin Sweetelson, guiding you through the next 3 hours right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Big night in sports. A lot to come throughout the program. A great guest list of people to help us make us some money along the way. We'll look at Tuesday's MLB card. Recapped what happened today with Shohei Ohtani returning to the mound. Of course, we've got the Stanley Cup Final. A big one tomorrow in Sunrise. We'll be all over that with Linda Cohn from ESPN. But the story right now is the NBA Finals. We are tied up at twos with 6.5 to go. 105-97 is your score. Pivotal game five here between the Pacers and the Thunder as Indiana with a turnover trailing 105-97. It's now 107-97. We have a 10-point game, and it looks like some free throws coming for one SGA, the MVP of the league. Get you an updated number here on the odd screen as Indiana has clawed their way back into this one, down big, and a lot of it because of the bench. That second unit, Rick Carlisle, turning to a veteran in TJ McConnell, who, you know what? How would you describe TJ McConnell? Send me your favorite adjectives to describe the point guard coming off the bench for Indiana at Dustin Sweetelson at VSiN Live, as he's led the way. He's gone over his points, rebounds, and assists, all of those props tonight. I had that one over at VSiN.com/picks. However, some of the other bets not looking so great. We'll touch on them momentarily as we grade out the props from this game. It's 108-97, 6 minutes to go, and Oklahoma City make that 110-97 as they're about to get a bucket on this next play. In the market right now over at DraftKings, live number has the Thunder laying 10 and a hook. In-game total is up to 234.5. I think about the under. That feels a little bit long, as I'm not sure the scoring is going to keep coming for Indiana, who is down 13 after a timeout with 5:48 to go. So there's a pause in the action there. Let's pause, catch our breath, and relax for a moment as I broadcast live from Circa in downtown Las Vegas, where it's popping, people. I couldn't believe I had to park on the fourth floor of the parking deck at Garage Mahal. Pulling in, I thought it'd be casual, you know, find my spot. Nope. This place behind me is packed. I think it's the finals. I also think it's the soccer. Low key, this is one of the best places to watch soccer action, or as people across the pond call it, football. I won't do that because I was born in America. But yeah, it's a great crowd here. Come on down, hang out, buy me a beer after the show, which will be in a few hours. We've got a lot to get to, a little mano-y-mano. Trying to find some baseball player props, specifically some hitters that we can back in Tuesday's action. We'll go over that later on in the show. Three up, three down. Get you set on who's hot, who's not in terms of pitchers and hitters in baseball. As Shohei Ohtani did make his return to the mound earlier today. And look, I was a sucker. I fell for the okie doke. I'm sure plenty of you did too. It's okay. I wanted to bet in the name of fun. And part of that was betting Shohei Ohtani over 1.5 strikeouts at plus money. He goes one inning in his return, two hits, one run allowed, no strikeouts. So that market was efficient as the under was minus $1.70 when I placed my bet earlier today. And hey, I would place the bet again just because on the chance he went two innings, we were going to get there, it felt like we had a good chance to get there pre-flop. Unfortunately, one inning for Ohtani, he allows a run, he throws 28 pitches, and that's where we stand there. Padres do lead the game, 1-0, bottom of the third. However, LA is threatening with a runner on second. We'll keep you updated as more information comes, any score changes there. Giancarlo Stanton returned for the New York Yankees today. Didn't help them much. He did get a hit in his return. They didn't score any runs. That's a bigger discussion that we're going to have later in the show. The New York Yankees offense is an issue. Now, I don't know how much of an issue it is because one of the teams in their division punted on this season, trading their best player in Rafael Devers. I have a lot to say when it comes to the Rafi Devers trade because I think it's the right move for the Red Sox, but it's the wrong move for baseball, and it signals a bad sign of things to come for organizations going forward. As we're back in action in Oklahoma City, 110-97 is your score. Game five of the NBA Finals. 5.5 to go. Jalen Williams at the free throw line. He does make the free throw. It's now 111-97. And the Thunder still laying 10.5 in the market. 234.5 is your total. And Williams has been tremendous all day. He's such an X factor for the Thunder. I think it's he is the biggest X factor for Oklahoma City. When he's at his best, they are that elite historic level team that we all build them to be coming into the playoffs. When he's mediocre or just average, that's when they take a step back and they look beatable. Tonight, they jumped out to a massive lead. They covered the first quarter spread of 3.5. They covered the second quarter of 3. They covered the first half, 5.5. And that's when the Pacers came storming back. Indiana +3 and on the money line cashes in the third quarter. And now we find ourselves in the fourth quarter of this game with the Thunder a bit of a scare heading in, but looks like they're going to pull away. And it's a big one for your boy here. Those of you who missed it, earlier on VSiN Live on Mad Dog Sports Radio, I did bet, not actual money on the game, I bet something more important, and part of it's pride, but really it's my beard. I bet my beard that Oklahoma City would win this game, because I felt so confident of this situation. You know, Eminem, in between rapping about mom's spaghetti, he was also sending a message about opportunities of a lifetime, and the Indiana Pacers on Friday had one. And they let it slip through their fingertips. And we could have been going into this game 3-1 Pacers as an underdog. Instead, it's 2-2. And the momentum they stole by splitting the first two games of the series, they handed right back to the Thunder. And within this game, they made a nice run with Tyrese Halliburton mostly off the floor, which is a whole different discussion for us to examine later in the show. But they made a run. They made the game interesting. But in the end, it looks like Oklahoma City is going to pull away. Maybe I'm speaking too soon with 4.5 to go. But I think the Thunder withstood the Pacers' best shot as an alley-oop makes it a 12-point game with 4:26 to go. But the Pacers just let this slip through their fingertips. They had a chance to control things because if we think big picture, we think we work in terms of odds here. This is a betting network. The odds of the Pacers winning this series coming in were minimal. That's why they were big dogs in the series price. And there weren't many worlds where they do it, right? You want to talk about multiverses. You want to talk about the butterfly effect. You want to talk about we're living in a simulation. There weren't many simulations where the Pacers were better than Oklahoma City. So to me, missing out on that opportunity of potentially being up 3-1 was as big of a mischance as we've seen in sports. And it's playing out where Oklahoma City was given life. And now I think they put this thing away in game six. I don't think the Pacers come back after this game with the way Oklahoma City looks. They're clicking on all cylinders. They have their confidence back. They're getting contributions up and down the lineup. And unfortunately for the Pacers, their superstar has disappeared at times when they need him the most. We're at the 3:22 mark in the fourth quarter, and Tyrese Halliburton has 4 points. I'll repeat it, 4 points. The market believed he'd score 17, at least. His prop points was set at 17.5 points. So he's going to go well under that. He has 6 rebounds, so he cleared his rebound prop, and he's yet to go over on assists. If you're going to be a team and you're going to be in the NBA Finals, and your best player isn't going to perform, there's going to be a trickle-down effect. Because you look around the rest of the starting lineup, and Miles Turner's bounced back some with 13 points tonight, but he's been MIA most of this series. He does clear his rebound prop of 4.5 with 6 boards today, but everyone feeds off what Halliburton brings to the table, his energy, the way he sets everyone up. And a lot of the problems with Halliburton's game right now is he's too selfless. He's making the correct basketball decision based on the formula, right? He comes into the situation. He's supposed to do X, Y, and Z if the defense shows him X, Y, and Z. It's the finals, man. There's emotion involved. As I mentioned, momentum's involved, and there's energy. And I think for the Pacers to feed off the energy of their best player, he's got to be more selfish. And we've seen that in times when he's been selfish and called his own number more. It's paid dividends for the Pacers. And they've won games. They've cut deficits. They've had miraculous comebacks. And all of it starts to me with Tyrese Halliburton. So we'll touch on that a little bit more as it's a 14-point game, 3 minutes, 22 seconds to go, timeout on the floor. Thunder still laying 10.5, and your in-game total is 234 and a hook. If you're feeling spicy, 11-1 on the Pacers in-game. If you're feeling spicy, I'm not. Feel like skim milk right now, so I'm not feeling that spicy. I'm just not buying the Pacers. As someone who feels like they got duped into buying into Indiana, I just think that all the juice they had, all the energy they had, it's gone. They're going to fizzle out in six. We're not going seven. So congrats to people who bet Thunder in six. Felt like a popular play. Does sound like that is going to cash here. We got a big show coming up for you today. Great guest list coming up in about 20 minutes. My guy Arthur DeCesar from over at the Westgate Superbook. We'll see how this one was bet. What kind of sharp action did they take and react to the series price adjustment and the line for game six? And of course, he's great on the hockey. Speaking of the hockey, Linda Cohn will join us later on in the program. Let's see, at 12:15 Eastern, 9:15 here on the West Coast, a legend in the game. And she'll help us figure out what we're going to bet as it pertains to the Stanley Cup Final. And then Greg Peterson, you know, G-Unit, he's crazy, and he's going to have a million baseball plays for us later on at 1:30 a.m. Eastern time. Hey, do you want to bet smarter in the football season? Well, it all starts with VSiN Pro. For a limited time, grab our football special at the early bird rate of just $175, which gives you full access now through the Super Bowl. What does that entail? Well, you'll get the NFL betting guide, the ultimate playbook with breakdowns for every team, power ratings, and season-long best bets. Plus, with VSiN Pro, you'll get daily best bets emails from our experts and hosts, betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, live and on-demand shows via the VSiN Watch app, and analytics and betting tools exclusive over at VSiN.com. Don't miss out. VSiN.com/subscribe to lock in the early bird special for just $175. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. This is Cashing Out. We'll take you through the final couple minutes of NBA Finals Game 5.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's Cashing Out, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Dustin Sweetelson, hanging out with you for the next few hours here. SiriusXM Channel 158, YouTube TV, and of course the VSiN Watch app, however you want to watch the show. We've got a bunch of ways for you to consume us. And of course, at the end of every show, each and every VSiN program is available for download wherever you get your podcasts. So no excuses on missing anything we have to say here. And right now, we're talking about the NBA Finals. We're tied up at twos, but we're about to go 3-2. And just think about that swing. The Thunder are up 120-107 on the Pacers in Game 5. 90 seconds to go as the Pacers with the basketball. I mean, they've had some magical moments. I can't imagine there's a world where this is even possible. Just trying to do the math in my head as they miss a shot. Yep, they're going to live to fight another day. And when we think about this series, it's crazy what could have been. And the Pacers are going to have all offseason to think about that. They go and they steal the first two of the series. They eliminate home court advantage from Oklahoma City, which was the favorite, the mighty, powerful one seed. And they come back home, and they're about to go up 3-1. And that gives you some breathing room if you're the Pacers. It gives you a mulligan to play with, right? Where you still will have the lead even if you lose a game. And instead, it's a meltdown where they get blown out in the fourth quarter on Friday night. And next thing you know, they're going back to OKC, and the Thunder have life. The Thunder are seeing through the woods that there's an opportunity here for them to capitalize on. They come back home with the crowd on their side, and they take care of business. Outside of a third quarter run where the Pacers made things pretty interesting, Oklahoma City found a way to pull away. And part of the reason is Jalen Williams. And there's a bigger discussion about Jalen Williams that needs to be had in NBA circles. 40 points with about 25 seconds to go in the game. 40 points, 6 rebounds, 4 boards, and a steal. Plays good defense. 6'5 forward. Probably if you're just like looking at him on the eyeball test, he's probably a tweener. You think he's part shooting guard, part small forward. Don't know what position he plays, but he's good at basketball. And went to Santa Clara. Wasn't even at a big school when he got drafted into the NBA. OKC's developed him over the last couple of years. And he's a 2. that's the big picture with Jalen Williams. He is a legitimate number two as the Thunder are going to dribble things out. They will win 120 to 109. That means the game, what'd we close at? 223 and a half. So we go over. We do end up going over in this one. So we finally have an over after a slew of unders in the series. But Jalen Williams is a number two. And when he plays to his capabilities, which is the majority of the time here, the Thunder are impossible to beat. The way he stretches the floor, the way he's able to shoot the three ball and be that second option, I'm getting texts about my beard. It's such a game changer for the Oklahoma City Thunder because Chet Holmgren, I'm sorry, that dude's not reliable. I know his defense and his presence, what he brings with his potential to block shots is massive for this team and what they want to do defensively, especially on the perimeter, the way that guys can go all out and they know that the help is coming with Chet to swat a shot away. But Chet Holmgren is way more up and down than Jalen Williams. He is not as reliable. I'm not sure he's ever going to be a two. Jalen Williams is a two. He had a monster game, an emphatic performance. And grading out some of the props here, looks like SGA stays under on his points prop of 34.5. He ends up with 31. He does go over on assists. 10 assists in the game for SGA. His number was set at 6.5, and he does lead the game in dimes, which he was plus 255 to do so, second shot on the board. So if you bet that, that's a pretty nice play there. Plus 295 for him to have a double-double. So a nice little bet there. So I'm sorry. What was the total? Was I right? 224.5? Yeah. Or game six. That's game six. Okay, Jared's sending me the game six line. We will get to that in a moment. Want to look at some of the props here real quick that went off tonight in the game. A lot of them for Oklahoma City, a lot of them off the bench. Aaron Wiggins and Kayson Wallace both go over their points, 14 and 11 respectively. They were both set at 5.5. Pascal Siakam for Indiana had a great night. He ends up with 28. And his prop total was set at 18.5 there. And then the story for Indiana was the debate they're going to have for game six. TJ McConnell in 22 minutes had 18 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists. His point prop was set at 7.5. Rebounds were set at 2.5. Assists were set at 3.5. He clears all of them. And the Pacers looked like a much different team with him on the floor. He's way more aggressive than Tyrese Halliburton. I'm very curious to see what comes out during this post-game presser when it comes to one Tyrese Halliburton, because I know he's dealing with some sort of injury. And I'm not going to dismiss that that's not the reason why he's not performing, but he's also not aggressive. And there are times when he's too selfless and not aggressive enough. And I'm curious if anyone in the media is going to ask him about that, because he finished with 4 points, 7 rebounds, and 6 assists, and his team lost by 11. And he's the best player on the team. That just can't happen. Where Oklahoma City on the other side is just getting contributions from everyone. I mean, everyone on their team is doing something to impact winning. Chet Holmgren finished with 9 and 11, so while the points aren't there, he also had 3 blocks. Holmgren led the game in rebounds. He was the favorite, plus $1.40 to lead the game in rebounds. And Jalen Williams with the 40 points, he was 5 to 1 to cash or to win, to lead the game when it came to points production. So we'll look at some of the other props later on in the show. I do want to get you the line for game six, which we're going back to Indy. And I think this line is respectful. I think this line is respectful over at DraftKings to the Indiana Pacers based on what they've done this postseason. Right now, Oklahoma City's laying 5.5 on the road in game six. 224.5 is your total. I would go under again. I would go under. I'd go back to it, even though the over just cashed today. And I would lay it with Oklahoma City. I'm sorry. Indiana had a nice run. You can only get up and do what they did so many times. You can only expend that energy to make these miraculous comebacks so many times. And to do it in this series, in the finals, in game one, and then to have this thing with a chance to go up 3-1, I think it's hard to recapture that. These are human beings here. They only have so much in the tank. And if Halliburton's not right, if he's not healthy, or he's not willing to be aggressive and be more selfish and call his own number, I don't see Indiana being able to hang. I think this was a statement today. I think game five for the Thunder was a statement of, look, we played around for a while. We let you think that you had a chance. this is who we are, and we're showing the world who you are. That's the real Oklahoma City Thunder. That's the team that was historic from a net rating perspective over the course of the regular season. And that's a team that just suffocates you defensively and takes you out of your rhythm. The defense creates offense. The aggressiveness on the glass, also a key thing when it comes to Oklahoma City. 45 boards for them tonight. I loved what I saw out of them in terms of defense, in terms of turning the turnovers into points. And I think it's more of the same in Indiana. I feel like it's deflating. We're talking about the Thunder being up a game when there was a real chance that the Thunder would have needed this to make it a 3-2 game. Instead, they're the ones with the 3-2 lead. Yeah, I don't see it, guys. I don't see the Pacers coming back, man. And it stinks because it was a fun story. It stinks because I'm a Knicks fan, and I wanted to say my team lost to the eventual champions. And I just think the Oklahoma City Thunder played around for a while, and now they're showing their true colors. It's Cashing Out, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Dustin Sweetelson, and I got to tell you about our friends over at Edge Boost. Edge Boost is the first ever bank account built for bettors, ensuring all gambling transactions are approved. No usage fees, no minimums. Earn cash back rewards, 100% approval for all betting deposits. All you have to do is sign up today, go to edgeboost.bet, and use the promo code CASH. Deposit $25, and Edge Boost will match the deposit. That's Edge Boost. Bet. All right, final score in Oklahoma City game 5, Thunder 120, Pacers 109. We do go over the total, and the Thunder, who were laying 9, 9.5 at close, depending where you shop, they cover that number, winning by 11. And I think they just ended this series. They ended the Pacers season, and we're going to end up getting 6 games out of this thing. Do you believe we're going 7? Hit me up at VSiN Live at Dustin Sweetelson. Tell me why. What's the formula? What's the recipe? How does the script play out if the Pacers win game 6? Because they just lost 2 in a row, something they hadn't done since early March. And I'm not quite sure how they're going to get back up for this, because I just think Oklahoma City is too much. It's Jalen Williams one night. It's SGA another night. And then it's that bench that's suffocating that can match you in so many different ways. You've got guys like Lou Dort going for 9, 8, and 3 tonight. Aaron Wiggins had 14 and 5. Kayson Wallace had 11 and 2 with 4 steals and a block. These guys are doing it on both ends. And for the Indiana Pacers, I just think the luck has ran out. It was a great run. It was a historic run. Thanks for coming. We'll see you next year. However, coming up next, we are going to go behind the counter. How was the action on this game? What's it going to look like early, the anticipation for the odds in game 6 with Oklahoma City, a 5.5-point road favorite? We'll go to the West Gates. Arthur DeCesar on the other side of the break of Cashing Out, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back at it live from Circa in downtown Las Vegas. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. You're locked in to Cashing Out. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. In case you missed it, the NBA Finals Game 5 is over. And I think the series is over. More on that to come. Thunder win 120 to 109. Game does go over the total, and Oklahoma City covers 9, 9.5, depending on where you shop. To help us talk about that, look ahead to game 6, and of course, break down the Stanley Cup Finals. We're going to go out to the Progressive guest line. Welcome in my buddy, Arthur DeCesar from the Westgate Superbook. He is a risk manager. You can follow Arthur on X at ArtDice21, and he joins us now. Arthur, that game goes over. Thunder end up pulling away, covering the number. Were you guys sweating bullets over there when the Pacers made it interesting over in the third quarter?
We definitely were, Dustin. And the big thing we wanted to avoid was 9. We took a lot of Pacer money at 9.5. And then when you got to 9, and we're dealing minus 105 too, so you get a little bit more action when you're dealing that type of line. People were laying 9 with the Thunder. You never want to land on 9 because all those Pacer tickets are going to cash and then you got to refund all those Thunder tickets, and then it's just a bad night. So the Thunder pulling away like that, despite getting some money back on the Thunder at minus nine, more money seemed to be on the Pacers at the 9.5 through the week. So it was a good cover for us. Total really had, you know, not much. It actually was good that the game went over, but the total is never really going to impact the bottom line the way a side will or a money line will.
Yeah, and then the game six line, it's officially out. I know you guys opened it up a little bit shorter than the market. We said DraftKings had 5.5. It's now down to 5. Where'd you guys put the side in total for game six, Thunder Pacers NBA Finals?
Game six, which is going to be on Thursday, so we get a couple days here. We opened Thunder as a 4.5-point road favorite. That's minus 105 both sides. Total 224.5. That's kind of where the totals have been. Mm-hmm. They'll probably yo-yo the total up a point, down a point. They'll play with it. I think the Thunder money will eventually come in. Obviously, Halliburton is going to be a question. I know he's trying to game it out, but if he's going to play, he played tonight. It's going to be tough. And I think most of us who have watched this series recognize that the series should be over already. The Thunder obviously blew that game one. We shouldn't even really be talking about a game six. We know Indiana will come out and they'll play hard. They'll be at home. They'll have the energy. They'll have to hit a million threes. But I think OKC is really flexing their muscle here, and they'll probably look to close it out. But we still have to give the Pacers a little bit of respect at home, and they've just been so gutty the way they've played this whole series. So that's why we said, hey, we'll open it at 4.5. We got a couple of days to play with the line, and we'll see who comes in with respected sharp money on either side, and then we can book to that action.
Yeah, it seems like no matter who you talk to, people are betting the Pacers. The public loves Indiana right now. So even at that short number, do you anticipate Pacer action?
You know, it's interesting. 4.5 obviously is not, especially if we're going to be on the low end of Indiana, we probably won't get a lot of love. But, you know, if you're sitting at 4.5 and everyone else is 5, but we're sitting at minus 105, yeah, we could see a little bit of it. I don't know if we'll see, you know what, we'll probably see more money line.
Yeah.
If you think about it, I think maybe they'll say, hey, let's take a shot at plus 170, plus 175, plus 180, depending on where we will end up falling on that money line. Right now we are Indiana plus 170 on the take back, Thunder minus 190. So with it being a little bit lower on the end of the spread, we might see some Pacer money line action.
Arthur DeCesar's with us from the Westgate Superbook at ArtDice21 over on X. Just saw in the Dodgers-Padres game, Shohei Ohtani with a hit and driving in a run, I want to say, maybe two. And the Dodgers now have a 5-2 lead, bottom four on the San Diego Padres. Obviously, the big story in baseball today outside of Rafi Devers, Arthur, was Shohei Ohtani returning to the mound, first time pitching, goes an inning. I was a sucker. I went over on the K-prop at plus price. It did not get there, but that number, the money line on the Dodgers, was on the move all day. Opened around 150, I think it closed around 182 ish. What'd you guys see with the action with Ohtani returning for just one inning of pitching?
Well, it's the Ohtani effect. I mean, listen, most nights we fight the Dodgers. We have to fight them in all parlays. It used to be we had to fight them on the run line, right? Every time the Dodgers won, they'd win by 10 runs. So anytime people were betting the Dodgers, they were laying the 1.5. Hasn't been that prevalent this year, but we always fight the Dodgers because Dodger money always comes in. Ohtani's obviously always a big story. There's a ton of Dodger fans in Vegas. And let's be honest, over the last month, the Padres have not played good baseball. I mean, they've dropped to third in that division. I mean, they're still right there and probably could still be a playoff team, but they just have not looked good. And you would think the boost of Ohtani pitching, even if it was just for an inning, 30 pitches, whatever it may be, was going to help the Dodger team.
Yeah, no, and the Dodgers will get Snell back. They may get like all these guys back who've been on the IL, and then you add Ohtani to the mix. Yeah, I think they're just waiting out the injuries before they completely go off. Before we get done with the conversation here, I have to get your thought on the Stanley Cup final, because I know you're a big hockey guy, and we've got a big one tomorrow night, game six in Sunrise. Edmonton, man, I want to believe they still have something up their sleeve, because I want to go seven. And unfortunately, they're still the dog here, plus $1.30 with the Oilers. Panthers minus 155, the total 6.5. Curious what you guys are seeing over there at the Westgate, and more importantly, how you would play this game, Arthur.
So we opened the game Panthers minus 140. We've only trickled up a couple of cents. We'll probably see more of the action on this game tomorrow, because obviously that's when they're going to drop the puck in this game. People probably more focused today on baseball and the NBA. But I said to you when we talked last week, I think the Florida line, now it's weird, Florida hasn't been that good at home. They've been great on the road. They're like 10-3 on the road, and you know, they're basically like 500 at home. Edmonton is scrappy, but the goaltending is an issue. It's always been an issue. The Panthers being minus 140. Now we have the tight 10 cent split, you know, take back on Oilers plus 131. I think this line will eventually go up. I think we'll get to the 150 range. There will be a bite back on the Oilers. I think Florida will close it out, because I just don't think Edmonton, and I got to be fair, I've said it, I picked Edmonton in seven, but they just can't overcome this goaltending. It's just too much for them. Florida's been the better team, and I think outside of blowing that game when they had the 3-0 lead, just like the NBA, this series should probably be over. Hockey's a little bit different because the puck can bounce a certain funky way, and you never know, but Florida just seems like the better team. They're the deeper team. They have the goaltending. And I think they're going to close it out tomorrow.
Yeah, Florida's loaded, man. I mean, this is one of the deepest teams we may have in all of North American sports right now. They just have so many different ways to get you. And as far as the goalkeeping goes, it doesn't matter. Pickard, Skinner. I think Edmonton's defense might be the big problem here. That might be bigger picture. The shots that both goalies have had to face has been absolutely brutal. The Conn Smythe market, though, Arthur, is pretty interesting right now. Sam Bennett is minus 150 for the award. Marchand plus 370. Draisaitl 7-1. McDavid plus 750. If you're going to bet the Oilers to win, you might as well bet that instead. Would you think about betting on anyone other than Bennett, or does it feel like his award for the Conn Smythe?
Well, Marchand he's almost, if it was a Stanley Cup award and it wasn't a playoff award, I feel like Bennett and Marchand would split the award, because they've both been spectacular. They've both scored six goals in the cup. And obviously Marchand's had a overtime game-winning goal. But it's the totality of the playoffs where Bennett has 15 or 16 goals, whatever it is. And that's, like, I think, second or third most in the last 30 years in a Stanley Cup playoff. So it's hard to think Bennett won't get the award, because the Conn Smythe, people forget, it's not an NBA Finals award. It's not a Super Bowl MVP. It's the whole playoff, and that's why you see Bennett at the price it is, minus $1.50, minus $2. He's clearly the favorite. Even if Marchand went out and scored two goals tomorrow and Bennett didn't, I don't think it would matter. I think Bennett's still going to get the award.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're spot on there. And the fact that it's not just the final, that it's everything he's accomplished, the way he's dominated, the big goals he scored away from home. I mean, that's everything when it comes to the postseason. Arthur, appreciate you doing this, staying up, hanging out, and chatting with me here. We'll do it again soon.
Yeah, Dustin, we'll talk soon, my friend. Always a pleasure.
That is Arthur DeCesar. You can check him out on X at ArtDice21. And go see him over at the Westgate Superbook, where he is a risk manager. And he will take your action when it comes to the NBA Finals and the Stanley Cup Finals. So be sure to bet with them. All right, we got a lot to get to today, because baseball was interesting. Baseball made headlines over the weekend. And it's not often we get to say that. And I don't think it's a good thing for the sport. I think it's a bad thing. But more importantly, we have to look back at what happened earlier today when it comes to the baseball card, because there is a bad trend happening in the AL East. And it concerns a team that got off to a hot start and now they can't hit anything. And I'm curious if that division may be in jeopardy now. We'll discuss that and look back at all of today's baseball action when we return. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. You're tuned in to Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
That's right, it's Cashing Out. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Dustin Sweetelson, hanging out with you here live at Circa in downtown Las Vegas, where the vibes were immaculate. It was great coming in here. Crowd was hanging on every play in the NBA Finals game 5, where the Oklahoma City victorious 120-109. Game goes over. The Thunder cover the 9.5 as far as the spread goes. And they take a 3-2 series lead as we are going back to Indiana. Game 6 will be on Thursday, where right now it looks like a lot of movement in the market when it comes to that game. Oklahoma City opened 5.5-point favorites on the road, being bet down to 5. Total has stayed pat around 224.5. If that shifts throughout the program, we'll keep you updated there. We'll also keep you posted on everything happening baseball. 3 live games currently going on across Major League Baseball. We'll touch on them momentarily, but first, a recap of what went down earlier today. It was a short slate Monday group of games. Going back with the earliest one was the Phillies beating the Marlins 5-2 in Miami. Abel on the bump for the Phillies, the prospect. 5 innings, 3 hits, an earned run, and 3 punchouts as they won 5-2. The game stays under the total of 8.5. Trey Turner knocked his 8th homer of the year. Kepler with his 9th bomb. But I think one of the big stories going forward is how we evaluate Sandy Alcantara in each start, because he was a little bit better again. So that's like 3 starts in a row for Alcantara. And this was a step up in competition against the Phillies. 5 innings, 5 hits, 2 earned, 5 strikeouts. I just file that away. I'm not sure we ever see the old Sandy Alcantara from the Cy Young days, but it does appear as the season's going on, he's getting stronger and stronger. And note that for how he's priced within the market. Also earlier today, the Colorado Rockies with a big comeback win in the nation's capital. 6-4 over the Nats. Game goes over the total of 9. Plus 168 you could have had on Palmquist in Colorado. Nats were minus 207. Kyle Finnegan blew the game in the 9th with 3 earned runs allowed. Hunter Goodman, this guy has come out of nowhere. I had never heard of Hunter Goodman. He sounds like a character Ben Stiller would play in like an Adam Sandler movie. He went 2-4, 2 ding-dongs, 3 ribbies for Hunter Goodman. He leads the charge for the Rockies on the road as they win. Should also note James Wood hit his 18th homer of the year for the Nats. His season-long prop was 17.5 home runs on the year. It is June 16th, and James Wood has cleared that number. He is going to be a monster in Major League Baseball for a while. That guy has easy power. It is effortless, some of the shots he hits. He's like 6'6", 6'5", somewhere in that range, maybe 6'7". And he hits absolute bombs. A great guy for them to build around, but he went yard again. I thought that was worth noting because on VSiN Live Mad Dog Sports Radio, the show that I do with Patrick Maher on Channel 82 on SiriusXM, our guy Stuart Durst gave that out in spring training. Wood over 17.5 home runs. He's very likely going to double that number. So I'm curious if he could have gotten some alt numbers in on James Wood this year. Tampa Bay and Baltimore, the Rays won 7-1 down in Tampa at Steinbrenner Field. Game stays under the total of 9, but Zach Eflin knocked around. Allows 7 earned runs in the contest. On the other side, Ryan Pepiot, man, he is a really nice little pitcher. Key part of that Tyler Glasnow deal going back to Tampa. 8 innings, 4 hits, an earned run, 11 strikeouts. And Brandon Lau. Brandon Lau continues to mash baseballs. 14th home run of the season. He is a frustrating player because he always is injured. But when he's in the lineup, that dude produces, and he's on pace right now for a 30 home run season out of the second base position. I mean, that is awesome for Brandon Lau and the Rays, who are still threatening to be a playoff team. And I'm not so sure they're not. I'm not sure they don't have a chance in the division. And part of the reason for that is the way the Yankees look lately. Let me get to the updated standings in the AL East first, though. I just want to check those out. I believe they were 4.5, 3.5 back coming into today. The Rays with the win, Yankees with the loss, now 2.5 back in the East. There's a conversation to be had, people, because something's wrong with the Yankees offense. They lose today to the Angels, 1-0. Goes into extras. They're still unable to score runs. Obviously, we go under the total of 9. But this is a big conversation point with New York. The pitching has been tremendous. Even with losing Gerrit Cole, Rodon's having a Cy Young caliber season, right? Max Fried is in the conversation for Cy Young, and the Yankees offense all of a sudden is gone. 4-game losing streak, and you go back 5 games, they've scored 5 runs over their last 5 games, 1-4 in that spot or in that run, 4-game losing streak. I'm not sure what's happened to these bats. And they got Giancarlo Stanton back today, which obviously is massive. But I don't understand how the Yankees' bats have gotten so cold. I would start to factor that into our handicaps as we approach them over the course of the next couple days here. I don't imagine this lasts very long, but if they're going to look as bad as they do against a pitcher like Soriano, who traditionally doesn't miss a lot of bats, the pitcher for the Angels today, he had 6 strikeouts, 7 innings, 6 hits, none earned. So a great performance from him on the road at Yankee Stadium. You would think the Yankees bats at home would come to life. They just got swept by the Red Sox. I don't like those vibes. Vibes are not good when it comes to the Bronx Bombers at the moment. Speaking of the Red Sox, they currently lead the Mariners on the road 2-0 in Seattle. And I don't believe anyone, two are on for the Mariners. Sorry, I have a camera blocking the graphic with who's on base. Two on and big dumper Cal Raleigh at the dish. So this is a big at bat here as Weissert on the hill for Boston in relief with one out. And I'm trying to see what inning we're in. I guess I could look at my screen. Eighth inning. So this is a big, big at bat with Cal Raleigh, who I still believe is an MVP candidate. I know Aaron Judge is hitting like 378, but if Cal Raleigh can be the only key guy in this Mariners lineup to provide some offense, I think he has to be in the conversation at 22-1 for AL MVP. However, he makes me look really bad right now with a strikeout. I don't love that for my guy, Big Dumper. And I believe that is now two outs in the eighth, two-run game. We'll keep you updated there. Lucas Giolito was great on the hill for the Red Sox today as they were plus 149 dogs. And the total was 7.5, so we're trending towards an under. And the dog is very much live with a two-run lead as Jorge Polanco is up now for Seattle with two out in the eighth and two on. But Giolito is a guy who had not looked great his first few starts to begin the season after having surgery last year. And today against Seattle, 6 innings, 3 hits, 10 strikeouts, no earned. But let's put some context behind that. The Seattle Mariners are the other team. And that's why I believe the conversation I was just having about Cal Raleigh is true, is there's no one outside of him in that lineup that's threatening. They don't have enough offense, although Rosarena is starting to hit a little bit more right now as far as the Mariners go. I would say Giolito, a good performance, but let's keep in mind some context of who it was against. It's against a weak Seattle offense. Logan Gilbert returned for the Mariners today. 5 innings, 3 hits, 2 earned. 10 strikeouts for him off the IL. That's massive because right now they're priced a little over 2.5-1 in the AL West. Something I've considered betting is the Mariners to win that division. I just think if the pitchers stay healthy and they get right, and George Kirby, I believe, is starting to get right, if those guys do that, they'll contend and they'll be in the mix. But I'd like to see them make a move at some point before the deadline, add a bat, maybe two, even if it's not like a real middle of the order guy, someone who just lengthens that lineup that gives you an opportunity to score some runs. Because right now, getting shut out at home, this is a team that just doesn't score enough runs for me to bet them to win a division, where there are other teams in that division where I think Texas, the hitting's starting to come around. The Astros are a little bit more balanced despite everyone they lost in the offseason. Seattle's the team that if they can add offense, they have the highest ceiling to me of all those teams in the AL West. The NBA Finals and the Stanley Cup Final are both here, and PropitX is offering the best odds all playoffs long. PropitX is a peer-to-peer sports exchange available in 40 states, the first of its kind in the U.S. You'll be able to make your sports picks against other groups of fans rather than against the sports books. Exchanges guarantee you the best odds on average by 10 to 20%, and you can even request your own odds. All you have to do is download PropitX today with the code VSIN and earn up to $200 in profit cash over your first month. That's download PropitX today, code VSIN, $200 in profit cash over your first month. All right, that's where we stand with the baseball right now. Dodgers up 6-2 in the fifth on the Padres. Otani drove in a couple of runs last inning, as it looks like we're going to go into the top of the sixth now, with that being the score. And the Padres continuing to fade in that National League West. I'll have more when it comes to the Boston Red Sox and what they did yesterday. The trade for Rafael Devers is really hard to explain. I think when we examine it from a Boston perspective, sure, I understand what they're thinking. But coming up in the next segment, I will explain why I think it's bad for baseball. In a copycat world, in a copycat league, it sends bad messaging of what's to come down the road, where baseball is at a crossroads in general when it comes to being in the sports fan zeitgeist. That's coming up next. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. Don't go anywhere. This is Cashing Out.